Welcome, everyone, to another episode of your Transformation Journey podcast. And today, our guest is Julian Abbey. She is the author of, and I cannot see y'all. I don't even have my glasses on. I will let her say it because I literally cannot see y'all. I tell you, when you hit around 50, get your glasses because your girl cannot see. And I
It's
agree
all
to
right.
leave that in there. So, Julian, welcome to the podcast. And you wrote a book, and I think it's called Perfectly Queer. And I appreciate you coming on. And tell us what the full name of your book is.
Sure. So the book is Perfectly Queer. It just came out this year from Hay House Publishing. And the tagline to it is facing big fears, living hard truths, and loving myself fully out of the closet. And so the reason why I paused before the end of out of the closet is there's a lot of people who see this book and think you have to be part of the LGBTQ to read it. And really, it is just a story of transformation. And we all face big fears and hard truths. And we're all on a journey to try and love ourselves better. So
Definitely.
that's a little bit about
And
my story in my book.
I love it. And I love that you had the tenacity to do that and to get yourself out there to put that out there for people to read. And so, how did you come to that, to where you were writing that book?
Well, I love that you mentioned that it took tenacity because that makes me sound really cool and badass. But the reality is that when I started writing this, I had no intention of it being a book. I was just in one of the lowest points of my life. And the things that were happening in my life seemed stranger than fiction. And so, in order for me personally to cope with that, I just started writing. So, I would wake up at 6 in the morning before my kids woke up. Write for an hour, type for an hour, whatever divine download I would get that day, I would just write it out, close my computer, and continue on with my day. And I was lucky enough to join a group of like a spiritual support group for women, which was actually really outside of my comfort zone. But they were also writers. And so they heard what I wrote and they wanted to hear more. And so they really encouraged me to write. I submitted my idea to Hay House Publishing, a contest that they had, and I was shocked that it won.
Awesome. That just tells you that the divine downloads that you are getting and the group that you are in just meant for it to actually happen. And I love that it did, because now it's opening up conversations that is within the group and also outside of the group. And it's
Yes.
giving people that open dialogue that is really needed.
Absolutely. I think that was one of my main goals, though I didn't realize it at the beginning, but there's a lot of hard conversations for people to have around the LGBTQ, whether they're in their own coming out process, whether a family member or a friend is coming out, whether they have a child who's coming out, because we still don't have a lot of language or education to know how to talk about these things. And so part of the book was to share my full experience in all its nitty-grittiness and warts and weird sense of humor, so that people could get more comfortable with it and maybe be able to start having those conversations. And honestly, one of the best comments I got from a reader is that she finished the story. She said she had never felt so seen in a book, and she was passing it along to her mom next, who was having a hard time understanding why she had come out later in life. So to be able to
And
facilitate those relationships and conversations is just awesome.
did you also come out later in life? Was that your experience?
Oh, yes. So, high level, yes. I came out 4 years ago at 38 years old. I was in a 20-year relationship, married to my college sweetheart. We homeschooled our two kids. We ran a small business together that was one of the top mom and pop shops in Tampa Bay. We had the house in the suburbs, the white fence. I mean, by all accounts, my life was perfect. And I used to wake up every morning and think to myself, oh my God, how am I going to do another day? I was so empty inside. I felt just so hollow. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know, you know, everyone talked about their purpose and their passions in life. And I didn't feel any of that. Like that inner flame that some people have, I just was like, I don't have an inner flame. I don't know. And it wasn't until I had a craniosacral therapy session, which is a type of somato-emotional body work. So it works with our physical bodies, but also the emotions and energies of our body. And I came out in that session and I finally could love and accept the fact that I was queer. And it's something that I had known, you know, looking, that's been the cool part of writing the book, is it allowed me to go back in hindsight and say, oh, the signs were there. Like, lifting weights with the women's rugby team in college. And when I wanted my first car to be the Mustang with the loud engine. And I mean, there's a lot of, there were a lot of different things along the way where I was like, Jill, why did it take you until 38 years old? But there's also a lot of societal stories we tell about who we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to live, what we need to do that will make the people in our lives happy, that'll make our parents proud. And I was very much a perfectionist and very much a people pleaser. And so I did everything I could to try and be the child that I thought my parents wanted. And I thought that meant me having to be straight. So as much as I came out at 38, it was, you know, more than a decade in the knowing of that's who I was. I just couldn't accept it. And I couldn't love that piece of me until I brought in the therapy component. And then all the therapy came, all the life coaching, all everything, because coming out is not an easy process, especially when everyone knows you as one thing. And now you're saying, actually, this is who I am.
Yeah. So how did your family take it whenever you came to them and said, hey, this is my realization, and this is part of who I am?
It was kind of like trail mix, little mix, a little bit of everything. I am happy to say that for the people who really matter in my life, that we have gone through kind of this transformational journey in our own relationship. And specifically, my relationship with my mom is covered in the book because she and I were incredibly close. She was one of the major reasons that I did not come out for so long because I wasn't sure how she would react. And then when I did come out, some of my hardest conversations were with her. And at the same time, you know, by the time the book launched, she was there at my book launch with her spouse and with some of her friends. So we came apart, and then we've been working on weaving ourselves back together. And I hope for some people that's just encouraging to them, because like I said, coming out is really hard in and of itself. But when you lose that support network that you've always had around you, sometimes it can feel like that's permanent and that's forever. And so to know that you can sometimes heal those relationships and bring those people back into your life in a safer and healthier way, you know, I hope is encouraging for some folks.
And it does sound encouraging. I know of a few people in my life that have done the same thing as you. They were going, like, I have families, I have kids, and this is not all of me. This is not all of who I am. And giving their family and say, the other part of me, and this is who I truly am, and they come out to them. I've seen both sides. I've seen where they were accepted, and then I've seen where they weren't so accepted, and the spouse was extremely angry. I know of someone where he felt very attacked on his masculinity. And I'm going like, I don't think it's an attack on that per se, because it's not part of where you should be identifying. At least to me, I don't think you should be identifying that part of that relationship, because I don't really think she meant it that way.
Right. Well, and that's an interesting thing. I don't think that's a unique thing. I know that, my ex-husband had some similar feelings. He was incredibly supportive at the beginning, and at the same time, he had to go through his own process of healing. And there's so many different stages of that. We had to grieve the end of our marriage. We had to grieve changing our life around. And at the same time, I needed him to know that, like, it actually had nothing to do with him. This was all about my sexuality. It didn't matter how it wasn't based on his skills or anything else. Like, this has always been who I am. And then I think he realized, by us separating and starting in different relationships, I think that's what helped him, is that he realized that, like, oh, it's not me. I'm okay when I'm in a relationship with other people, like, I'm fine. It's just, this is why it never worked for the two of us.
And
So it can be.
I think that's right. They have to understand, or the other partner has to understand, that it takes two different perspectives to make a marriage. And sometimes that perspective can be totally different, and that person needs to go on their own path. And when they do that, that leads to a different truth, a different perspective. And you don't never know until you do have those conversations. Did we get Bruce?
Yeah, I think I lost
No.
you there for it. Yeah,
Okay.
we're back.
Y'all, this is
Yeah, no, I
techno glitch.
completely agree. Yeah, I know. We're doing the best we can here. It's all right. But no, you're absolutely right. And I think one of the challenging things for me is that when I came out, a lot of people thought it was a really selfish choice of me to make. And they said, "Well, look how you're hurting him." And I know he was hurt, and I was hurt too. We had, like I said, we had a good life together. But what I don't think a lot of people think about is, what if I didn't? Like, what if I stayed? I'm still a queer woman. I'm still only attracted to women. What happened if I would have stayed in our relationship for another 30, 40, 50 years? Like, there's resentment that comes along with that. There's lack of satisfaction. I had already slowly slipped into depression. Jack Daniel's honey whiskey became my bedside companion in the evening, just to try and dull life so I could get through another day. And that's the thing, is that from the outside, life looked good. And I think that's what's hard for anyone who's on a transformation journey. If people look at you from the outside and they're like, "Oh, but you have this and you have that. What right do you have to change?" They don't, they there's no way they could understand everything that you're feeling inside. And if you're not feeling in integrity with who you are, and if you've lost that inner flame, that thing that lights you up and makes you want to show up in the world and be the best version of yourself, if you're losing that or you've lost it, you have the right to reclaim that. But people aren't always going to understand it.
And that's a conversation that I think a lot of people are really starting to understand and to have. And it may not just be about whether you're coming out, it's about life in general. Where do you want to go in life? Where do you want to see yourself in life? And if you have a partner, it's important to have those conversations, because if you keep quiet about it, it's just like what you were talking about a while ago, 30, 40, 50 years down the road. How are you going to feel if you didn't talk to your significant other or maybe to a family member and say, hey, this is how I'm feeling and this is where I see myself, but I don't know how to get there. I don't have that support. And needing that support to be able to have those conversations is so important. I've seen so many people hold off on life dreams because they were afraid of the judgment. And I can speak from experience because I just hired a coach just this week, and I realized I was running from some things and running from conversations that I talk about certain things all the time, but I was really wanting to help women on another level because I really didn't want to have those hard conversations around sexual abuse because that's a very hard conversation. And
Absolutely.
but yeah, I found myself talking about it a lot, and I was going like, that is where I need to be. And so I find myself pivoting. And the podcast will be pivoting. So those of you that are listening to this, you get a sneak peek of an announcement coming up because we will be pivoting because of that. And if I had not listened to that inner knowing, to somebody to say, hey, this is where I see where you're really going to impact people. And it's still going to be your transformation journey because you do and you can transform. And it's just like when you wrote your book, to have the audacity and the tenacity, because I know for you, it doesn't seem like it's tenacity, but to me, for somebody that's looking at people that are doing these things, it is tenacity. It is having the wherewithal and the ability to say, this is who I am, and I want to help others. And if that means writing a book to get that word out there, then that means that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, but I think one of the important pieces of that too is that tenacity doesn't mean there's the absence of fear. And actually, fear was a huge driver for me. It's, one of the last chapters of the book, one of the things that haunted me for such a long time was Bronnie Ware wrote a book called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. And so Bronnie worked in the hospice system and talked to people who are towards the end of their life and asked them what they regretted. If they could do it over again, what would they do? And I thought, well, who better to get lessons of how to live life than from people who, have the backward looking perspective to say, don't do this. The number one regret of the dying is that I wish I lived a life according to what I wanted and not what other people wanted of me. And that is what played on loop in my head for so long, is that if I don't make this change, if I don't do this, I'm going to lie on my deathbed and die with the secret. And that scared me more than the thought of coming out. So yeah, tenacious, but also terrified.
Oh, yes. A lot of the things that are worth doing, we can be fear and we can be afraid to do it. We're human. And, there are so many things out there that are saying, well, people in general are very afraid of people that have the gumption to do what they were meant to do. And it's because they're afraid to take their own step to say yes to something. Because I'm going to tell you, me saying yes to what I'm doing, trust me, I am shaking in my shoes. I would say boots if I wore boots, but I'm shaking in my shoes. And it's one of those things when we do the hard things and we do it even when our voice is shaking, that we can make a difference in the world. And I think that's what is so empowering to see you doing is making that difference in a world. Even if you only have a handful of people reading that book, is somebody that you're going to get through that possibly would have not gotten through or heard about it.
Yeah. And I think that is common for a lot of people in that sometimes their greatest fears or what they see as their greatest weaknesses or the things that brought them down in life can also become what their superpower is. So I ran from my queerness as fast and far as I could. I mean, I had so much internalized homophobia. I wanted to be anything but queer. I've always wanted to be an author. I never thought lesbian memoirist would be how I would end up as an author. And now it's because I had to go through so much of a more challenging journey. Some people have been completely comfortable with their queerness. They came out early. The people around them loved them. And they were like, all right, you know, pride for my whole life. That wasn't the case for me. And I had to learn to love the LGBTQ community and myself. But I feel like because I've gone through that process, it's put me in a position where now I feel completely comfortable speaking to people who are on that same journey, who are saying, I don't understand this. This doesn't seem right to me. This is confusing to me. I don't know what I think about this. And to be able to talk through it and say, you know what, the boogeyman that everyone has painted about what this is, it isn't actually that. And we just need to face it and talk through it. And so I'm so proud of you then too, for what you're doing, because you know, again, it is such a scary thing, but sometimes, and this is what I think is just so interesting and amazing in life, is like that life is presenting you with this option and this idea, and this is what keeps coming up for you is the thing you have to address, and you can make the choice to run from it or to heal. And I love that you're like, okay, I'm going to shake in my shoes, but you know, this is my medicine ahead of me. Like, this is the path of my healing, and that's going to help so many other people too.
And it does. It's one of those things that we see, because we have to get certain topics out of the closet and yeah, start really talking about it. So when we're talking about things like that, what is your advice to, I would say, the younger crowd that is afraid right now of saying to their family, you know, this is who I really am? What is your advice to them right now?
The first thing I always recommend is to check on their safety, because safety is the most important thing. And unfortunately, statistically, we know that we can't ignore the fact that LGBTQ kids are more prone to violence and homelessness and mental health issues, drug abuse issues, alcohol issues, because of, not inherently because of their queerness, but because of what the community that they're surrounded in, the type of unsafe environment it creates for them. So safety is the most important thing. The other key piece of that, though, too, is community. And one thing a therapist had me do was to write an entire list of everyone I could possibly think of that I had ever met that if I came out would have my back. And it took me a while to be able to put the whole list together. But once I could see an entire page and know that I wasn't entirely alone, as alone as I felt in this process, that was the support that I needed to then take the next step and say, okay, I can move forward with this. For me, I also had the benefit of time. When I came out, I didn't have anyone that I was looking to be in a relationship with. So it was nice in a way that I could decide when I wanted to come out to people. That really is a benefit and a gift when you can do that. And that's also why it's so important not to out people before they're ready. Yeah, so those are the biggest thing, but you know, safety first, kids, and then you know, find your community. There's plenty of amazing online communities as well. I didn't think to use Google when I was coming out. I don't know why. Like, so many amazing, like, late in life lesbian groups out there that I found after the fact, but at the time when I was coming out, I thought it was just me and Sir Elton John were like the only two people in the world who had ever been in heterosexual marriages and then were like super gay. So it's not the case. There's more out there.
But
it's so helpful to find community.
Yeah, community is a huge thing. And I want people to know that you, those of you that are listening, if you are having those same thoughts, those same doubts, there is a ton of communities out there. Please reach out because you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do it by yourself. And same thing I want to reiterate is the safety piece of it, because it depends upon where you're at in your life, who you're around, and making sure that you're in a safe environment, and to take that and then run with it. It's I think my biggest core mission is to see people not continue to waste their life. You have so much more that you can give to the world, that you can live your life the way that you want to and be really successful doing it.
And the reality is, like, when we are, if there's one takeaway, if there's one big thing that I try and share from me coming out, and this is whether you're coming out or whatever your coming out is that there is nothing that feels better in this world than living in integrity. And living honestly and not having to mask. And so it allows me to show up as the most full version of myself. So I'm a better mom now, and I'm a better spouse now, and I'm a better new spouse. And a better I'm better in my work that I do. I just show up better in the world because I can just be me. And I wish we could all give the space to each other. We don't always understand why people are making the choices that they're making. But if that is moving them on their path to being the most real version of themselves, then support them in that because that's how they're going to show up best.
And I 100% agree with that. So, as we wrap up, where can they find your book? And also, where can they find you? I know I have your website scrolling down below, but where else
Yes.
can they
So,
find you?
yeah. So Perfectly Queer is available worldwide, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, or check your local indie bookstore. If they don't have it in stock, they can usually order it for you. There's a paperback, there is an ebook, and there's an audiobook. So if you can tolerate my voice a little bit longer, you can get the audiobook narrated by me. Queer Abby is my blog site. So if you want more of my wacky, weird writing, it is available there. And you can also find me on TikTok at Ask Queer Abby or on Instagram at Jillian Abby Author.
That is freaking awesome. And I appreciate you having you on because it's a conversation that needs to be had. And it's a more widespread conversation that we need to keep spreading. So I appreciate that you're on here and willing to do that.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Keep
Thank you.
transforming, babies.
Oh, yes, definitely. And as y'all love to know that I love to sign off, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not. You are loved. You are the beacon of hope. And you are unstoppable. Hallelujah.